Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15. For our pondering the page time tonight, we are going to be looking at one of my favorite verses, Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Now, during our pondering the page time for this semester, we've been looking at key verses you need to remember. And this is one of them, because this is the verse that's going to remind you of the faith rest life. It's going to remind you that in the midst of day-to-day activity, challenges, trials, difficulty, tests, afflictions, in all of life, God is providing for you and is offering to you His peace and His joy and His hope as you walk by faith in fellowship with Him. In Romans 15, verse 13, we read, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now keep in mind that there's a context to all of this, and as you have already studied Romans, you recognize that, again, it starts out with an introduction followed by the condemnation of man and the need for salvation, followed by the wonderful truth of justification and how God provided through Jesus Christ a payment for our sin and then raised Him from the dead in order to declare us righteous by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and His work alone, apart from law, ritual, and works, and how our salvation is eternally secure. And then it moves on to salvation and sanctification, not only positional sanctification, but then practical and progressive and powerful sanctification through our position in Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then in chapters 9, 10, and 11 in Romans, you deal with the issue of Israel and has God canceled or postponed His promises to Israel? Will He still fulfill them? In chapter 9, you look at the national election of Israel. Chapter 10, the rejection of the Messiah by Israel. And chapter 11, the future restoration of the nation and how God will fulfill His promises. And then in chapters 12, 13, 14, and beginning of 15, you have this practical section to the book of Romans and how all these truths are to now be lived out. And verse 13 is a concluding prayer that ends the doctrinal and practical sections of the book of Romans. The remaining verses in Romans are filled with personal remarks and greetings. It's a concluding prayer of practical blessing. You see, it begins with "now." That's telling you this is a conclusion. Now. Now notice also the word "may." The word "may," again, tells us this is what sometimes commentaries call a prayer wish. And there are a few of these in the Bible. There's one also in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. There's a prayer wish. There are some other ones that are found as well. But it reflects a desired goal. And it reflects, again, what God wants to do in our lives. Now, this is the verse, once again, when you learn to observe and you learn to unpack it, is just pregnant with meaning. And it's all about practical blessing that God wants to fill your life with. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we think of this verse, the first thing I want to point out is the source of practical blessing is the God of all hope. Now, notice, He is the God of hope. Now, this is a unique title for God. He's never called the God of hope anywhere else in the Bible. The word "hope" is the Greek word ELPSIS. Excuse me, there's an I. ellipses. And it speaks of a confident expectation and happy anticipation of future good. It's always something that's certain, but it's future. And that's why it's called hope. It's not something that's iffy. It's guaranteed. But because it's guaranteed and because it's future, we therefore hope for it. Now, this hope is referred to earlier in this chapter, if you look back at chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. There it is. And then, when he talks about verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to who? The circumcision. For the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Question, what promises? What fathers? Yeah. Fathers are who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Promises are the Old Testament promises, and in particular the Abrahamic covenant, and the covenants we're going to look at tonight and dispensations. But if he was a servant to them, and, verse 9, that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. And isn't that the way it went? Didn't He offer the kingdom first to the Jews? And then He died on the cross for the sins of the world so that the Gentiles could get in on this, in a sense. For this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles to sing to your name. And again, He says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. He's quoting from the Old Testament to show that Gentile salvation was predicted in the Old Testament. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall reign. He shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In Him, the Gentiles shall what? Hope. There's that word, hope. Now, may the God of hope, the one the Gentiles are going to hope in, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this hope belongs to God. He's the God of hope. He possesses that hope. He provides you that hope. And that's why the source of the practical blessing in your life is the God of all hope. There are positional blessings in which we are blessed with all spiritual blessings, but there are also practical blessings that we could call them to be conditional. And that's one of them. This is one of them right here. Secondly, we note that the recipients of practical blessing include you in the plural. Now may the God of hope fill you. See, that word you is plural. Now, if you had a King James Version, it would say ye. And you see, the way the King James distinguished the plural from the singular is the plural would be ye and the singular would be you. But we don't use the word ye anymore, usually in our language. And so in the New King James, they just translated you. And you don't really know if that's singular and plural, but the Greek makes it very clear that it is plural. You see, those who God wants to bless with all joy and peace through believing is every believer. There are no exceptions. You never have to think, does God want to bless me with joy and peace? He does. You are not the exception. You are the target, as it were. Thirdly, we note the objects of practical blessing involve both joy and peace. Now may the God of hope fill you with all, there it is, joy and peace. The word joy means just that, joy, delight, rejoicing. You could call it inner happiness. Inner happiness. And the word peace means just that, again, of harmony and inner rest. You can have conflict on the outside and rest on the inside. You see, God wants to give you perfect peace. He wants you, as it were, to enjoy, to be in the eye of a storm. Everything around you may be going on, and yet you can have quietness of heart. inner peace and rest. And I've experienced this many, many, many times. As I've cast my care on the Lord and I trusted in Him and everything around me was going on, and yet I entered into rest. And one of the things I remind myself every day is in the morning, I say, Lord, I want to thank You that today You are offering to me the faith rest life. You're not looking for me to produce, You're looking for me to abide. You're not looking for me to struggle, You're looking for me to rest. You're not looking for me to direct my own path, You're looking for me to trust in You to direct my path, to carry my burdens, to fight my battles, to empower my service. May my focus be on You, and may I be relying on You and enjoying fellowship with You as we go through this day. He wants to fill you with all joy and peace. Notice, not material, but immaterial blessings. Practical blessings. And notice, not only joy and peace, but all joy and peace. That's pretty significant too, isn't it? You see, some people get the idea God wants to kind of, you know, just put a little bit of joy and peace in their cup. You know, the fact is, He wants it to overflow. Which leads us next to what degree does God want you to enjoy this? Again, the word was all. Number four, the action of practical blessing involves God's desire and willingness to fill you with all joy and peace. You see that word fill right there is the Greek word pleroo. Pleroo. It means to fill to the full. So as to dominate, permeate, control, or characterize you. See, it was used in John 16:6. The disciples were filled with sorrow. It was used in Luke 5:26. The people were filled with fear. In Luke 6:11, the Pharisees were filled with madness. In Ephesians 5:18, believers are to be filled with the Spirit. Filled to the full so as to dominate, permeate, or control. Now, this is an aorist active optative. Now let me explain. Now the aorist tense just again emphasizes the action. And I think there's reason to believe this is like a constative aorist, which is like a series of dots. He wants to fill you here, 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 here. Now, active voice means the subject does the action here. So who is the subject? Is it you or is it God? It's God, right? God is the... So God does this. You don't fill yourself with joy and peace. In fact, a remarkable thing that you will learn in the Christian life, if you haven't already, is that it is the fruit of the Spirit. When you try to get joy, you will never get joy by trying to find joy. You will not get peace by trying to pursue peace. You will find joy and peace as you pursue the Lord and learn to rely upon Him and rest in Him. God is the one who fills you. Now, the optative mood is not used very often, but optative indicates a wish or desire that God has for you. They sometimes call it the mood of desire and possibility. See, there's the imperative mood. There's the indicative mood. There's the subjunctive mood. And then there's the optative mood. Okay? Imperative mood is a what? You've heard this a lot of times. It's a what? It's a command, right? It's a command or it's a necessity. Indicative mood indicates something, communicates a fact, right? Subjunctive mood indicates a possibility, a desired goal or objective. The optative, which is not found a lot, indicates a possibility as well, a wish that would be the case. This one is more wishful than this one. You can say it that way. Yeah. Like subjunctive mood. Subjunctive mood oftentimes is connected with a very direct condition, like if we confess our sins. If is in the third class condition, you might or might not. Confess is in the subjunctive mood, which means if you fulfill this, then this will be true. Subjunctive moods a lot of times are in verbal form in order to indicate something that will happen if something else is fulfilled. Okay? Now, the reason it's optative here is because, again, it's a prayer wish. This is what Paul is praying for them, but his prayer is reflecting what God wants to do in their life. Okay? Number five, the condition of practical blessing requires you to believe in Him, just like at salvation. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And here's the condition. Here's the human condition is in believing. In believing. And again, this is our normal word for believing. It's a present active infinitive of pistuo. So the way you would literally translate it is, since it's an infinitive, being translated said in believing, or it would be to believe. Infinitives usually are, it's a to, but it sounds too awkward to put to believe, right, in English? So they change it to in believing. Now, the present tense doesn't require ongoing action, but in light of the fact that He wants to fill you along the way, in order for that to be true, you need to be what we would call walking by faith. So as you're walking by faith, He's filling you. The two are clearly connected. And this is pretty incredible because He wants to fill you personally. With all joy and peace. Not someone else, but you. Not a certain personality, but you. Not a select group of saints, but all believers. Not simply those in trials or without trials, but again, all the time. Not only married believers, but single believers, older believers and younger believers, and first century Christians and Christians right now. This is an offer that has been made available to all believers. Now, this clearly should eliminate wrong concepts about God. You know, some people think God, again, is a cosmic killjoy. He's a celestial crank. He really doesn't want to fill you with all joy and peace. And that is not true. What so often happens, though, is we break down on our side here in believing Him. You know, His plan doesn't always jive with ours, and His timing isn't always the same as ours. And we tend to believe the lies of Satan instead of the truth of God, and we tend to lose sight of God's grace, and therefore we quit walking by faith. And when that's the case, pretty soon we don't have the joy and the peace that God wants to give us. But again, faith has to have an object. And so the object is always the Lord, based upon the promises of God. And when it comes to hope, remember, hope is always inextricably connected with promises. Promises are what fuel your hope. And so as you walk by faith, even in light of what He's taught in Romans, your position in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you enjoy the promises of God, you walk in a condition that's right with Him, He is going to fill you with all joy and peace in believing. But what is the resultant practical blessing? Not only joy and peace, but here's a third one that's thrown in as well, is that you may abound in hope. You may abound in hope. And again, it's plural, all of you abound in hope. The word may abound speaks of something of exceeding measure, above the ordinary, more than necessary. In fact, you remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000? Remember when they fed the 5,000? Remember, the disciples didn't think Jesus could do it, right? How are we going to do this? We only got a couple fishes and loaves, right? He fed 5,000. Do you remember what he did then? He collected the fragments. How many baskets? 12. One for each of the apostles. You didn't believe me? Here's a basket for you. A basket for you. A basket for you. Remember who you're dealing with. You're dealing with Jesus Christ. That you may abound in hope. In what hope? You know, when I think of hope, another way to express hope here is, I like to call it, I think I heard this from Grace, from Jay Chappell, grace optimism. Grace optimism. You know, there are some people, they're just natural, you know, pessimists. And sometimes pessimists marry optimists. And sometimes that's good. I mean, you get two pessimists that marry each other, man. Things are down. You get two optimists, they don't have their feet on the ground. You know, so in some ways, if you marry opposites, sometimes you balance each other. In fact, some of you met the two guys from Oakland that flew in this weekend. You know, Daniel was an optimist. This is what he told us. And his brother Isaac was a pessimist. And he says, we kind of balance each other. I thought, and you know what's so amazing about the Lord is that He gives you grace optimism. What people are going through depression a lot of times, why do even they commit suicide? A lot of times it's due to the fact they have lost all hope. They've lost all hope. Usually, depression is due to guilt of the past or anxiety about the future. And therefore, it robs them of the joy of the present. And that's why as a believer, again, you know, as believers, we need to know we're accepted in the Beloved. All our sins are forgiven. And even practically, if we confess our sins, He forgives us. So the guilt of the past is dealt with. And we don't need to be anxious about tomorrow. But we can cast our cares on the Lord, and as we walk by faith, day by day, we find He's filling us with joy, He's filling us with peace, and He's giving us hope in our souls. And that's what He wants to do. Now, how can all of this be produced in your life? And that's the last part of the verse. By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's not cranked out. It's going to be produced by the dunamis, the ability of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, which reminds us this is a divine operation. Again, the issue is not one's personality, but the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, you can find believers whose personalities are hyper, and you can find some that are really kicked back, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about filling you with all joy and peace and believing and abounding in hope regardless of your personality. We're not talking here about something natural. We're talking about something here that is supernatural. And when a believer is lacking true joy and peace, it's because they've lost sight of who God is. He's the God of all hope. They've stopped believing God's promises and they're walking by sight or by feelings. Or they're trying to produce this in their own strength when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit. So you need to remember who your gracious God is. Who is He? He's the God of all hope. You need to realize what your gracious God can do for you. He wants to fill you with all joy and peace. You need to recognize how your gracious God does this in your believing as you faith rest. And you need to recognize why your gracious God wants to do this, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is a great verse, guys. And I'll tell you, there's something to be said not only for a clear verbal testimony, but a testimony of life that fills you with joy and peace. And I heard a story, and this didn't happen to me, but it happened. I read it somewhere. where a pastor was in line in the grocery store. And somebody was standing next to him and they said, are you a pastor? And he said, well, yes. How did you know? He says, well, you just kind of looked miserable. You looked stressed. And I thought, wow, what a testimony, huh? Now, it's not that pastors don't deal with stress. You know, my life's filled with stress. Stress is not a problem. It's how you handle stress. Because you're going to have stressors all your life. The question is, how are you going to deal with it? You're going to faith rest? You're going to cast it on the Lord? You're going to let Him fight the battle? You're going to claim the promises of God? And let the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope? Notice, all joy and peace, abounding in hope. Wow. And then we forfeit this when we walk by sight. We forfeit this when we go by our feelings. We forfeit this when we quit focusing on the Lord, when we quit walking by faith, or we try to produce and we find ourselves in Romans 7. This is a great concluding prayer wish that Paul prayed for the Romans and that God wants is fulfill in your life, believer. But it involves a walk of faith in the Lord who loved you and gave Himself for you. And I hope that you can learn to taste and see the Lord is good each and every day in your own personal walk with Him. Father, thank You that You want to fill us with all joy and peace in believing that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And clearly, this was a key for the Apostle Paul, whether he was in prison or out of prison, whether he was being beaten, whether he was being ridiculed, whether he was being stoned, whether he was among believers, whether he had tears, whether he had whatever. We know that his key was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we know that's the key for us as well. So we thank You for this encouraging verse that reminds us of Your unfailing promises and that You give us such hope in the midst of all the stressors of life. And so we thank You now. I pray that these students would in an increasing way experience this in their life and myself as well. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name.